Brother Colossus, are you ready? If you come up, I'll pray with you before you preach. After the message, I'll turn the time over to Brother Dwight, and he will do the testimony time and also do the prayer time with the brothers that are going to. Father God, this morning as Brother Colossus shares your word, I just pray that you would anoint him, God. Would he feel your power and strength, that he would be enabled in his flesh to proclaim your word, the everlasting word of God. Just to bless him and have your presence and your spirit in our midst this morning, and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I say good morning to you all. It's a big joy for us to be here this morning and see all your faces. Some of you are unknown to us. Some we still know your faces. Some we don't recognize anymore, especially the young people who have really shot up in 3.5 years. Amazing. We're very thankful to be with Ralph and Hannah this time. The Lord coordinated our furlough so that we can be here around the time of the birth of the baby. It's a big blessing. We didn't do that ourselves. We're very, very, very happy to be here with you. Although some of you don't know us, we still feels a little bit like home. We don't really have a home anymore, so we'll grab any home we can get. And that's also here with you. We've been here enough to love you, to get to know you a bit. We visited a bit, been here a few Christmases, and very thankful for the time that Ralph has been with you here also. Just a little bit before I start, before we read something out of God's Word, it isn't my objective to do a presentation on Ghana or on our work now. Maybe there's time for that later on. We hope to be here a few months, not right now. We'll be going down to missions conference in a few weeks if the baby doesn't wait. But then later on, end of March, we hope to be back in this area for quite a few weeks. We look forward to meeting you now and this time, but especially then later on more. So maybe there's time for a presentation somewhere. But just tell you a little bit for those who are new, who have never seen us. We're Dutch, but I was born in Canada, lived in Alberta for 13 years. My father is a missionary in Holland, still is, 80 years old, going strong, never giving up. I think he'll die in the harness. It's a blessing to see his enthusiasm for God. I hope that I will be just like him when I'm 80 years old. I lived in Holland for quite a while with my brothers and sisters there, siblings. Met my wife there. We were married in Holland. Lived there for most of our lives. And then 5.5 years ago, the Lord moved us over to Ohio for work for my business. But it was also very, very helpful in moving into homeschooling. We were very sad with the way schooling was going in Holland and the trouble our children were experiencing, the pull of the world in their lives. We're overjoyed with this step that the Lord really brought into our life. It's a big, big gift. We're able to, my wife, to learn English there, and we started homeschooling, and we thought that we would be in Ohio for a long, long time. The seeds of our departure to Ghana lie right here in this area, visiting with Paul Gary's family and reading books in their house just in the quiet. That impounded on my heart the necessity to really give ourselves, just deliver ourselves to the Lord, not with an objective, but Lord, here I am. As old as we thought we were, 50 years old already, gray. But it doesn't matter. It's not about me selecting a place or my wife. So we just started to get ready. Get ready for what God wants to do. Maybe it's going to be licking stamps and closing envelopes for His work, but it doesn't really matter anymore if you make yourself available. Little did we know that the Lord would call us to Ghana. Because we had made ourselves available, it was no problem saying yes. I think that's one of the fundamental things of Christian life. just available. God can help Himself to our lives. And that's what He's going to do. So we look back now at 3.5 years in Ghana, almost very blessed time, a lot of tribulation, but that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. I preached on that a long time ago here. We're also thankful for this opportunity of being here and in the States, connecting with the Charity Fellowship, which is more or less our adopted home church. They took us under their wings and are praying a lot for us. We sense their prayers. We know that you also hear, several of you, maybe the church, are praying for us. We notice it. We feel it. It's necessary. We hope to be in North America till near the end of July. Then we'll be flying back through Holland, coming into Ghana first week of August. So it's a furlough time now. We hope and pray that we, in the rubbing of shoulders with you, that there will be blessing coming out of that rubbing. Like when some of the weeds that you have, when you crush them, there's a fragrance coming out that smells so good. Before we start, let's just stand for prayer. Ask the Lord to guide us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for what we have been able to experience already in our singing together, the things we state, Lord, family sharing, blessedness of just expressing our love for you, the Bible study, Lord, it thrills our heart. Your word is so rich, much more than we can ever fathom. And we thank you for opportunities to just simply delve into your word and, Lord, to be built up in the faith and receive heavenly wisdom in our hearts. So also, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray for an anointing. Will you guide? Lord, it's not about us here. It's about your honor and praise. And we would so much like you to be truly glorified by what is said, but also how it is heard and how it is applied in our lives. Lord, be with us and guide us. Lord, this Sunday morning, in the new year, we have no idea what the day will bring and what this year will bring, but in your hands we are more than safe. But Lord, we would like to do exploits for you and help us to be strong. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read out of a chapter, just one chapter ahead of what Kaylee, I think was her name, mentioned in her testimony. She was reciting a verse out of 2 Corinthians 6. And we're going to read something out of 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like to read the whole chapter, and we'll be dwelling on different aspects in the chapter. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Excuse me. I'm making a mistake, because chapter 5 is where she read the verse. It's chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace may through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This morning in the Bible study, we were also speaking. I heard Ralph mention the word ministry, and that's interesting because we see it coming up here in this chapter too. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it's dangerous for us to sit and look up at a big apostle and say, well, you know, they had this beautiful ministry. No. Every one of us has a ministry. Oh, the older brothers. No. Every one of us. There's a ministry we have. A service. Minister, the word minister has become very impressive in our worldly speaking, but it's nothing else than servant, like in the old diener. That's just servant, somebody who serves. Are we servants? Did we receive a ministry? Can I say, yes, I see that God has given me a ministry? No, I don't maybe speak everywhere, and I don't have big campaigns, and I don't have preaching sessions left and right. But there's a ministry. Ministry at the kitchen sink. Ministry helping Papa and Mama chopping wood. Ah, that ministry is something I do for God. Not just for myself, and not just to impress others. We live in Ghana. The Ghanaians have been reached, so-called, with the gospel in the south. There's been missionary work there for more than 100 years. I think almost everybody would consider himself a Christian. Yes, we're a Christian. Oh, yes. Oh, you preach the gospel to me, and I'll add to every verse you start. I'll just finish it for you. I'll tell you almost where it is, and I'll say, Amen, yes, hallelujah. When you first come there, you're almost sort of shocked. You think, why are we here? What's the reason for coming to a country where everybody loves the Lord and where the shops have names, the Blood of Jesus Barber Shop, yeah, and Consuming Fire Cafeteria, and all these things that are just excerpts out of the Word of God, sometimes not really, you know, right on par, but... And you see this everywhere, behind on taxis, on the back of the windows, Jesus saves, or all kinds of statements. And then there's still something in this verse that almost might pinpoint what the problem is. The people have a trouble with what we call syncretism. I don't know if that difficult word, do we all know what that means? Syncretism means I am going to mix Christianity with worldly things. I'm going to mix Christianity with idolatry. I'll just put it all into the same jug and I'll shake it around, and then that's my juice. That's the stuff that's going to keep me going. People think so. I would say that's almost the craftiness or the deceitfulness of hidden things. Yes, I'm a Christian. Oh, yes. But if you dig a little bit deeper, you'll find out that they use all these funny things. If the Lord doesn't heal me, well, then we'll go to this tribal doctor or to this medicine man or to this voodoo person or whatever. And it doesn't matter as long as you get better. The Lord gave us a task there in Ghana, and that is to be the head of a school. And we don't have a lot of practical things in school for the children to do, but there are a few, and one of those is a bottle, and in the bottle is water and oil. And they put a little color in the water so you can see the difference well, and we're trying to show the children there that these two fluids don't mix. And you can shake the bottle for a bit, but then in the end, if you wait just a little while, all the oil will come to the surface and the water will be at the bottom. Oil and water don't mix. Every time I see that bottle, I have to think about our Christian life. Because with these people, we see how they have been tricked into believing a funny kind of Christianity that's just an add-on. You just add it on to the rest you've got. It's an extra little help. You know, it's a booster. So you've got your battery in the car, and, well, if it doesn't start, you just put a booster on there, and that's the way they take Christianity. It's just a nice help. God will help me get better. No, if God doesn't do it, something else will, but I'll get better. You think how sad that people have swallowed this wrong doctrine. They did. I hope we don't. I hope we don't also have this kind of fail-safe mode. If praying doesn't help, we'll do something else and quick here and there. Danger is still there, in the West also. So these hidden things and the trickiness of preachers who bring this kind of teaching to them, churches that very purposely tell the people, oh, come to our church. And when you come to our church, you can still keep on doing all these things. You can still drink, and you can still, you know, divorce your wife, and you can still use your juju, or you can have your idols, no problem. And you can be in our church. By manifestation of something, we are going to commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look in verse 2. How are you going to manifest something? And what are you going to manifest? But by the manifestation of the truth. Oh, brother, but the truth is so hard. You know, the truth, look at God's word and apply it to my life and say that it's serious and that I really have to do what it says, is almost too difficult. It's too hard. What does the truth do? It says it also in that same verse. The truth, it commends, by commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Truth hits me. Truth hits me here in my heart. Truth reveals who I am. If somebody walks in truth, they have an impact on other people's lives. If you follow the truth, others will be angry. Others will feel judged. Others will feel criticized, even if it's not your what you want to do at all. What do the people in Ghana need who are living in syncretism? What do they have to see? What do they have to know to realize that what they're doing is wrong? It was for us a big question. You know, you can go to Ghana and start preaching, Jesus saves! And they'll all shout, Amen! And we all have to receive Him in our heart. Yes, brother! So for them, and I don't help them by preaching like that. It's sad, and it's because we have warped their lives. It's wrong teaching which got them into this situation. But right there where they are now, it doesn't help to bring some kind of positive message. It actually doesn't really help to preach. Because preaching is done everywhere. Markets, somebody's there with his little megaphone, and he's preaching away everything. And they're all yes and amening. If you go with a car, with a bus, little, not a minibus, but a little bit bigger, often somebody will be standing up front preaching away there, sometimes preaching the whole trip. And some of their sermons are good. It's for what we can understand out of it, and hear the texts he's applying, you think, it's good. But it doesn't change anything. So how do you pierce the armor of indifference that has come through wrong teaching like that? That is simply by living out in front of them something else. Now, how do you live out something? Well, it must be something you believe, otherwise you'll never live it out. So if things happen in your life, the steps you're going to take to try to correct the situation or to help yourself are going to be determined by your belief, your faith, your statements about God. And when it's put to the test, that's when the people are going to start to see what you really believe. We have seen more and more that the real message is not preached through a microphone. Not there. The real message is preached in daily life, in the decisions you make. Manifestation of the truth, whacking everyone's conscience, awakening people for the truth. Because it says in verse 3 that sometimes the gospel is hid. The gospel can be hid in people's hearts. Hid, covered, not available, not visible, not there. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not that... Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There's something the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want the glorious light of the gospel of Christ to shine to people, so he will blind them. How do you blind people? Well, you can blind them with sand in their eyes, things that don't belong there. But you can also blind people with light. Just blast them with something that's false so that they don't see the proper things in life. If you saturate people with the gospel, with a crooked gospel, they will not be vulnerable for the real gospel. If you bring things into people's lives that take their attention away from where it's supposed to be, they'll be blinded. They'll have their attention distracted and taken away. Now, I do believe we in the West suffer from the same. We first went to Ghana and we thought that probably right away from the start we would meet the devil as he really was. You know, this is going to be a demonic country. Oh, now we're going to really see the manifestation of the devil. I must say, to be honest to you, we didn't. Or might I say, we didn't see it more than in the West. It's just, he has a different face on. He'll use a little bit slightly different techniques, things that appeal to those people, but I don't know why But I do think that we have to realize that also in our world, here in the Western countries, in Holland and Canada, United States, the devil is very much at large. Very much. He really is. And if he can blind us, if he can blind those people, then the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will not shine. But that's what we're supposed to preach. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach Him. How can you preach about something that has not filled your heart? How can you preach about something that is not the basis of your feelings? Then it's just words. You just, well, say something, because I've got to say something. Only if Jesus Christ is everything for me will I be more than joyful to use every opportunity to speak about Him. Jesus Christ is all I need. He is everything for me, and I don't care anymore. And the things of this world will go strangely what? In the light of His glory and grace, Lord Jesus, You are everything to me. Lord, use me. Help me that I can show the glorious light of Your gospel. Where? Just on the mission field? No. If I would just say in general, the life we lead there is very down to earth. It's just sweat and dirt and sometimes tears and maybe even sometimes blood. So it's just nitty-gritty every day, doing your work there, going to school, making sure that everything runs properly. It's a lot of work at home, keeping the house in order, doing homeschooling, and trying to get the wash done and all these manual things that don't have all the nice machines we have here. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And the whole day, you're very sticky and sweaty because the temperature that you feel more or less is something like 40 degrees, about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, almost all the time. Yeah, so it's not really easy, but where's the glamour? There isn't any. Really. We heard something yet last night on the way back from the airport about trips into Hong Kong and Vietnam, and I'm almost, wow. I'm just thinking, you know, we don't have a lot of, you know, tremendous things to show. And I'm just trying, I'm saying this to you so that you don't get any feeling like, oh, here's Mr. Missionary standing here. And, oh, not at all. But on one side, it's very beautiful for me. I'm very happy because then we can turn around and say, you know what? Even here in daily life, it can be exactly the same for you. And I know you know it, but for those who are struggling, who say, like we've been speaking about it in the Bible study, what is that to know Him, to know His will, to have a godly wisdom in your heart? It's just a matter of the simple things in life, presenting yourselves as a living sacrifice to Jesus. And then just following suit, going through with the process, and not, it's not just, oh, sticking of my hand in a meeting and feeling emotional about, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then before we know it, we're outside in the parking lot and we're just, you know, it's like life is normal again. But that there's a basic reality in my heart, in your heart. Yes, I have one theme only. I'm a one-track mind guy now. I only want to serve Jesus. We preach Jesus, Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. I'm just a servant. I'm the shoe polish guy. I don't mind at all because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to polish shoes, so I don't feel ashamed. Just a servant. What does that mean? It means that God wants to rid us from a feeling of needing to be important. When I was young, I had this feeling that I wanted to make a real good impression on people. A real good impression. I wanted to show them that I knew a lot. I wanted to show people that I was really composed. And I wanted to show them that I was really in control. And I wasn't, of course, because I was just a young man with all my mistakes and all my wrong attitudes. And then I get really nervous and upset if something shook my cage, because something happened and showed that I was a pretty dummy. And I was pretty flustered for a week because, I'm so joyful. God took that away. I've lost that feeling now. And it's really a joy. And I want to encourage all young people, if you're struggling with the same, and maybe not as much as I did, but just starting to find out that it's not about me anymore. It's not about what people think about me. It's what people think about Jesus Christ. And if I have to be killed in the process, that's okay. Christ Jesus is the Lord, and we are just your servants. We're just there to serve. In Ghana, we have one big enemy in the animal kingdom. That one big enemy is not a lion or a bear or an elephant. There are elephants not so far away from us in a big forest area. We haven't seen them around the house, but they're there. There are snakes. Some of the snakes are just as long from here to you, like this. That's big. And some of them are this thick around. And still, the snakes are not our enemies. We see them every now and then, but a snake runs away from you. A snake doesn't want to come and bite you. If they can get away, they'll go as fast as they can. It's only when they're cornered and when you suddenly find them in your shed, then he has nowhere to go. Then he'll try to bite or spit or something. But you know what the real enemy is? Army ants. Army ants aren't bigger than one little piece of your finger like this, maybe a little bit smaller. There are bigger ones and there are smaller ones. The bigger ones have pinchers on their head and they're ready to pinch me. And they're nasty little critters, because when they pinch you, it hurts real bad. But they're just this big. You'd say, how can an animal this big be a threat to me this big? 6 foot something. Because if there's an ant there, I'll just go like this, squish. Dead. Now the trouble is that there's not just one ant. There are millions of them. And they're all coming at us. So there's this whole stream of ants, 20, 30 feet wide. Everywhere you look, you'll see ants. Everywhere you stand, there's ants. And before you know it, they're crawling up your legs and they'll bite you real hard. So the result of it all is that we run away. Get out of their way. And it has struck me so much. Let's compare that to our own lives. Here's ants. These ants are in an army, right? So they're soldiers. Army ants. But every single ant, if I kill him, he's dead. But he doesn't mind. There's another one replacing him just as soon as I do it. And if I don't lift up my foot real fast, they'll be on my shoes and getting me. Why? Why don't they just start running away when I'm the big man, start stomping? Why don't they run away? Because they're not interested in it. It's not about them. They don't get together in conferences and say, hey, we have rights. We don't want to be stepped on. You know, we don't want to be squished. And because they are totally consecrated and doing their task, who told them? Must be God, because where do they receive their orders? But they're coming in masses, in hordes, but every single little ant is worth nothing. But together, they're a formidable enemy. Eat animals, and if you're unconscious as a human and you'd fall in a pile of ants like that, the next day you're just a skeleton. That's how strong they are. But every single one is just an ant. What a potential for the army of God. What a potential if we, every single one of us, are like that. Where we are just servants for Jesus' sake. It doesn't matter. It's not about me. And you know what? We are progressing for God's purposes in this world. And if I get squished in the process, so what? The next one just comes in, fills my place, and we just keep on going. And the enemy runs. Resist Satan. He will flee from you. I'm in resistance. As soon as we get that reality in our lives, we are going to be able to make proceeds for God. We're going to be able to gain ground for God. I am so touched and so enthusiastic when I hear what happened once on the mission field. You probably know the story. I think it was in Hudson Taylor's mission, China Inland Mission, where a ship came to the harbor in China, and an old man, old missionary, was standing there on the side, and the ship was moving in slowly, and there were all these young men at the railing, standing there ready to disembark, new missionaries. And the old missionary looked at them and said, "Young men, are you ready to die?" And one of them voiced the response of the group, and they said, "Sir, we died before going." "Yes, Lord. That's what I want. Lord, let me die for you. Let me die before I go." To where? To do something for you. Let me be dead. Let them kick a dead dog. It doesn't matter anymore. Ourselves, your servants, for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Why? In the Greek it says the word terracotta. I don't know if they use that in English too, but in Dutch, you know, terracotta pots and stuff. It's just clay, right? It's just clay. There's really nothing special. God gave us this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Again, the verse gives us the explanation. What does it say? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, it's not about me. Paul says it doesn't matter. I could care less. I couldn't care less about me getting messed up in the process. That's what I'm here for. I'm just here to be a servant. And Paul starts to explain. He gives a few descriptions of what he's going through. He says, "We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed." Troubled on every side. It has to do with people in a crowd where you're really getting pinched. And we've seen those pictures sometimes of people who go to, well, let's say, false idols, football games or stuff like that, and then get crushed in the mayhem where people are running towards the gate where there's no opening, and then they all get pressed to death. Now, that's the thought also behind this verse here where he says, we are troubled on every side. So I'm crunched and crushed from every side, but I'm not distressed. I'm not feeling any way troubled at all. It doesn't hurt me. We're perplexed. We don't know what to do, you might say. We don't know what to do, but we're not in despair. Brother, what are you going to do? I don't know, but it doesn't hurt me. I'm not, it's really not troubling me because... Yeah, because what? Why was Paul not in despair? Why was he not distressed? Why was he not forsaken? Why was he not destroyed? Again, because God's work is being manifested in me and you, all of us, and I'm here as a disposable. So if he wants to wipe off something and then throw me away, that's what I was made for. I'm disposable. And then I'm so blessed with what it says also in verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What is he bearing about? Does it say the death of Christ? Dying. The dying. That means it's a process. This is going on. This is continual. I used to think that for a Christian, you know, we should present ourselves to God and then you are dead in Christ or so. But there is a dying process, just like Christ. I used to think also that Christ lived here on earth and then died on the cross. But I don't know for sure if that's true anymore. Maybe I'm making all kinds of theological mistakes, but I think that Christ lived a life of dying. I think Christ lived a life in which he died. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. How can you die daily? Paul, is death not just a one-time thing, and then you're dead, and then that's it? He says, no, I die daily. A dead person has no rights anymore. A dead person has given up in the land of the living. Yes, Lord. Wow, is that something for me? The Lord Jesus says, he that falls in the earth and dies as a kernel of wheat bringeth forth much fruit. I almost think we're limiting Christ if we say, well, that's what he did on the cross, and he went into the ground and died and then brought forth. Because the Lord Jesus brought forth fruit during his life a lot. There was so much fruit in his life. By people who are willing to look at what he was really saying and doing, and they saw God. They saw the image of God in him. Not only the centurion when he died on the cross, but others also that realized that he was the Son of God. So Jesus Christ had a life of dying, of totally giving up, giving over. What is he giving over? What does he relinquish? What is he giving up? His muscles? Or is it much more than that? Lord, I delight to do thy will. Everything the Lord Jesus did was simply because God wanted him to do it. That means not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. So here's my will, sacrificing my will, putting it down. No, it's not what I want to do. It's what God wants to do. Lord, just work it out through me. So every time I'm just going to give up my own will in that process. Is that something we do automatically? You just become a Christian, you know, accept the Lord Jesus, and from that moment suddenly it just works like that? I thought so before, but I'm starting to see more and more, no, this is something we very purposely, willingly have to do every day of our lives. Taking up your cross. Why? Why do I take up my cross daily? What is the cross a symbol of? That's death. So I'm going to take that cross up daily, said the Lord Jesus, and follow me. I don't know about you, but in my life, status and what people thought about me were an enormous hindrance to following God. And I can't say I'm there yet. Still a lot to learn, but I am so thankful and joyful that I've gotten rid of that garbage of being so nervous about what other people think. Because it's not about what other people think, it's about what God thinks. And all God wants me to do is present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's my reasonable service. So Lord, here I am. It's not about the foreign field with big letters. Oh, only when you finally get to go to the foreign field, not at all. That's just a little part of the work. That's just maybe for some people God wants us to do that. And if you hear the calling, then by all means go. But if you just sit and wait and twiddle your thumbs and say, well, I don't know when God's really going to call me, you know, and then it'll be real great. You're going to be in for big disappointment. You have to learn to die today. You have to learn to follow God right here where you are. And if you can't do it here, you can't do it anywhere. So God gives us those opportunities. But that's also why this is in God's Word, why this chapter is here. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Jesus' life becoming manifest in simple flesh, like you and me. But Lord, I'm just full of mistakes and all bad attitude, whatever thought processes. I'm not perfect at all. God, are you willing to show yourself through me? Hey, Lord, when I look at my brother and sister, I see all sorts of things that are, well, just like when I look in my mirror, and you have accepted me. You want to show yourself, make yourself manifest in my body. Lord, that's my will. Hey, then my brother or sister, oh, they're slightly different in things than I am. What is the result?
Well, I don't agree with what he says.
Oh, wait a minute. God's accepting me. He's taking me as I am with all my quirks and stupid things and all my mistakes and all my wrong attitudes. And I'm just presenting myself to God and say, here, God, if you want to. We sang it in a song today, that give myself, that's all we have. Lord, I can't give you any more than I am. And that's something also I feel as a beautiful blessing the Lord has given me. Feeling relaxed about being around other people that have thoughts just a little bit different than I do. I used to be so strict. I used to be so straight. And I knew exactly what was the right way to do things. And all the others, they would get this feeling from me, I think. Well, Brother Cowan doesn't agree with that. You can sure see it on his face. And I know we have to be very careful. It's not about, oh, everything can go and everything is great. Oh, no, that's not true. But if our basic attitude is that of this uptight feeling of, I got to get on track and I got to go straight. And if I'm just, you know, this person's going to let me slip because he has different. No. It's about walking in God's path under the shadow of God's wings, where nothing can hit me, nothing can hurt me in Ghana or here from unbelievers or whatever. And I'm able to be peaceful and happy and joyful and just take God's love in. And when someone says, oh, I can see you're happy, your eyes are happy, you say, well, no, it's not my eyes that are happy. You know what? I have received so much from God. The love of God has come down and spilled into my life so much. I can't keep it for myself. Oh, is that so? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Always. Not just when we die. Every day is a dying process. Every day is that giving upness, that giving up, just giving up my rights, giving up my rights. But the beautiful thing is, when I start giving up my rights, God sweeps in with His power. And things start happening. And we look in amazement. It's not about me anymore, so I can't even take the credit for it. Do we know what that means? Ghana or no Ghana? Canada? Holland? Doesn't matter. Do we know what that is? stepping aside from the main rudder. Why? We delivered alway unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So in our simple dying flesh, this old tent that's going to be dilapidated and old later on, that's now where the life of Jesus is going to be made manifest. Jesus' life can be shown in us if we get out of the way. It's just a matter of that. I had my principles all set up so straight. I knew exactly where I was going. The younger I was, by the way, the more I knew where I was going. And now, I don't know. What's the Lord going to do with us? I don't know. But I know He holds the future, and I know He holds my hand. So as long as I stay with Him, no problem. I was thinking about that recently, how some of us, me too, have such a tendency to get worried and try to think things out, where the Lord Jesus says, except ye become as a child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A child. Here's a child. Does a child get all flustered and worried about what's going to happen next and so? No, because Daddy's in control. I know that Daddy's going to bring me to where I need to be, and I don't even care about it. I'm happy, and I'm frolicking. Now, what do we know about frolicking? How do we know what it is to revel in God's presence? How do we know what it is? Do we really know what it means to just rejoice in God? Just feel very, 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 very loved and protected and safe in His hands, that the worry is taken away from me. I don't have to worry anymore. You might say, well, maybe you have a real nice simple work there. Well, I would say no. We don't have simple work there. There are so many things coming at us every day. So many pressures from the government, from the teachers, not so much anymore, but at the start very much, from parents, from students, from the town. All these things that the devil is trying to do to just get us slightly off track. Just a little bit off track is already fine. He doesn't have to turn us all the way around. Just a little bit. And if we don't let ourselves get troubled and upset, again, every time again, we will see with amazement and wonder how God works out difficult things, and we just stand there and look at, But that's why I'd like to translate it back into our lives. It's not a Ghanaian thing. I am so thankful that the Lord started teaching us these lessons before we went, because it's just a continuation of the same. I think Brother Dwight can say the same from Belize. And it's not a glamorous life. Okay, here maybe it's not a glamorous life you feel either, but it's not supposed to be. We're supposed to just in the simple everyday things glorify God. Then it is glamorous and exciting. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. I'll just skip that verse a bit. I think Paul is trying to mention something to the Corinthians there. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Faint not might be saying in normal present day terms, we don't give up. The devil flusters us, and the devil brings all sorts of difficulties in our life and puts the pressure on us, and you felt it in your life, I'm sure, where things get so difficult and you just don't know what to do anymore. And then what he's hoping for us to do is just say, oh, I give up. I just give up. I just can't handle it anymore. For which cause we, says Paul, faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yes, Lord, my outward man may perish. Paul didn't really care. He let people stone him. He let people throw him into prison, beat him, scourge him, whatever. He was in water so many hours, many days on end, in storms, in afflictions. We faint not, because even though our outward man may perish, the new inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what we're here for, brothers and sisters. That weight of glory of God. We're just a mirror shining the glory of God to everybody around us. Paul understood the secret. Paul had a life which was bound up in Jesus Christ. Do we know what that means? How can we do that? How can you have the reality of God? Where do you start, brother? How do you do that? Well, we read at the start also about manifestation of the truth. And that's where it started in my life. Just doing what God told me to do. I saw that God wanted me to do something and I started doing it. And I got in trouble because people got all huffed and angry and mad at me. Sometimes the death we go through is a death of misunderstanding. People just don't know why we do things or can't get it. Just like we sometimes got mad at people who were following the Lord and felt pricked about it. Not only in Colossians, but also here in Corinthians, I think Paul is trying to show us the formula of joy, the formula of happiness. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in my body. In this human body as we are here, we can manifest the life of Jesus. We can. But it's not automatic. The cheap gospel that says you just accept the Lord Jesus and from that moment on is just one long straight drive into heaven. Cruise control. Now we were brought up on that when we were young. Now there's nothing that can happen anymore because Jesus bore all sins and it's fine. He said, well, so I'm thankful the Lord showed us that's not true, but then we still have to work it out. My prayer for you all here is you and us, let's catch a vision of what God wants to do. Let's catch a vision of God, what God wants us to do. And it says it here in this chapter. So let's not be tricked by craftiness. Let's not be blinded by the God of this world. Okay, you might have to take some stiff measures there to take the blinding away of the God of this world. But do it! And then give up your rights. Just start relinquishing all those things you feel you have a right to. And then become like those army ants in the army of God. That come up with millions and are not interested in their own personal status. And they further the work of the army with no problems. They're just animals. They're just ants. We are not ants. So we can give up our rights. We can follow God. That is what I wanted to say this morning. I hope that God will work out His work in our lives so that we will realize that Christian life is not just a fake life, it's not just an orchestrated life, but it's a life of reality where God will do His work in us. His work, if I just give up what I feel is all my rights and necessities, so that His name may be glorified, that the excellency of the power, as it says in verse 7, may be of God. Shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You that You died on earth here. Lord, we thank You that Your dying can be also made manifest in our lives. Lord, we thank You that there's a beautiful life for us here, a life full of joy, unspeakable, full of glory. If we are just willing to let You make use of us, help Yourself to our frail human beings as we are here, Lord. We're all the same. We have nothing to hide. We have nothing to look good about. And Lord, we can just be a channel and let Your work be done. To know the will of God, Lord, please, Lord, will You please show us what it means? Help us to get serious. Lord, help us to just start getting rid of matters in our life that block our view of You, things that blind us, Lord, that just take the focus off of You. We know, Lord, how You bless if we start doing that, even though if it hurts, Lord, and it's painful physically or mentally, Lord, we have this opportunity again. We don't know how long You will stay away, Lord Jesus, but we want to be found working. We want to be found in Your work, laboring in the vineyard. Lord, show us the way. Lord, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters here. Thank You so much, Lord, for their willingness to present themselves here in this area, Lord. And I pray for this church. Lord, will You help them and us, Lord, that work may be done for You in a way that will glorify You and bring many more to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I pray for those who are on their way out and will be traveling to the mission field. Pray for the Lichtis, Lord, as they hope to go to Ghana. They'll also have a time of blessing there as they go to visit their daughter. Our brother who's going to go to Vietnam for indefinite work there, be with him, Lord. Give him Your strength, Your might, not his own. Lord, that the power of God may become visible there also through him. Pray for those who are going to Hong Kong to bring Bibles in, to, Lord, to convey the Word of God to those who are so much in need. Thank You, Lord, for a missions view. But Lord, help us that our whole life will be a giving up view of our own needs and our own rights. And Lord, You can truly become so manifest in every one of our lives as we are here, that all of us will know what that is, the joy of serving God and being in the right place, because we know we've given up what has blocked the way, Lord, and now we are here for You only. Lord, may You be glorified in our lives today and in the rest of our lives. We ask this in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.